Dan Wood, longtime beat reporter, now analyst for the Ducks, joins us once again. Dan, I'm guessing the Ducks, they had to be really frustrated after that game because, you know, they controlled the majority of that game.
Yeah, they did, and I'm sure they were very frustrated afterward. It was a game that I think they thought they were going to win. It certainly looked that way until the final 7 seconds. The block shot by Nick Bonino a few seconds earlier, had that caromed over the blue line instead of staying in the zone, the Ducks probably win the game. So you can look at a lot of, you know, woulda, coulda, shouldas, but the bottom line is they didn't get it done. So now they need to bounce back tonight.
Any changes for the Ducks?
Don't think so, and that's unusual for this team because rarely have the Ducks played the same lineup back-to-back. In fact, you have to go back to November to find a set of two games where the Ducks play the same lineup in succession. So if they do not make any lineup changes, which I expect that to be the case, that will be unusual for this club.
You know, Anze Kopitar has been outstanding for the Kings in the postseason. And, you know, Ryan Getzlaff was very good, but it comes down a lot of times now. Your best players, not every night, but the majority of nights, have to be the guys going for you. And so I'm guessing the Ducks looking to Getzlaff and Perry, a lot of pressure on them to bounce back tonight.
No question. You know, there's a saying, we've all heard it a million times, your best players have to be your best players. And as much as you talk about supporting casts and so forth, and those other guys are important, the top guys are critical. And I will say this. I look for Corey Perry to have a big game tonight. He had more than one real good scoring chances in game one, including the one in overtime that Alec Martinez stopped. Generally, if you rile Corey Perry, he plays better. And I have a feeling he's a bit riled after game one.
Dan Wood joins us. Dan, any different matchups Bruce Boudreau would look at either trying to get or get away from?
Not that I know of. I think they were pretty content with what we saw in game one. I think Bruce is fine with the top lines going against each other. You know, if you look at game one, the Kings got a power play goal. The Ducks didn't. That was really the difference. Without that power play goal, you know, the Ducks win anyway in regulation. So I think 5-on-5, I think they're okay with that, but they need to really get something going on the power play.
What is it about the power play? Is it simplifying it? Are they trying to do the same thing all the time? Well, what do they got to change?
Good question. You know, the Duck power play by nature is streaky, and the Ducks are the ultimate example of that. You know, I think Nick Bonino was saying the other day that it seems like they either go 2-for-4 or 0-for-6, and it's pretty much the case. Their power play at times has just been unstoppable. And at other times, for longer periods, it hasn't produced anything. So I think all the guys would say the same thing. If they knew the answer, we wouldn't be asking the question.
On the other side of things, you know, the trade deadline, sometimes it works. A lot of times it doesn't. But right now, the Kings are loving their deadline acquisition. Marian Gabrick, Dan, looks like he's getting more comfortable every playoff game for the Kings.
Yeah, and I think Dean Lombardi deserves a tremendous amount of credit for making that deal because most people around the league didn't think much of it when the Kings landed Marian Gabrick. They didn't think that he would fit in to the Daryl Sutter system or really help the Kings, and obviously he has. You know, Dean went out and got Jeff Carter a couple years ago. We know how that season wound up, and Marian Gabrick looks like a real nice fit there on that top line with Kopitar. So, you know, Gabrick is an incredibly talented player. We all know that. And if he's comfortable in the right situation, he can make a big difference. The flip side for the Ducks, unfortunately, their trade deadline acquisition, which wasn't as sexy, wasn't as exciting, but was, I think, every bit as valuable, Stefan Robida. You know, he gets hurt in the first round and is out for the rest of the playoffs. So that's a big loss for the Ducks. And you know, they tried to address their biggest void at the deadline, and they did, but some bad luck got in the way.
Dan Wood, analyst for the Anaheim Ducks, joins us. Dan, you know, you mentioned the Bonino play, the Brian Allen play on the back end. That's the one, you know, 9 times out of 10, or I'd say 99 out of 100, he would make that play. And I guess you can credit them maybe for knocking it down, but that's one where you just have to bear down and ensure you get the puck by him.
I guess so, yeah. I mean, you know, you can look at all kinds of things when things don't go your way. I'm sure after Game 6 in Dallas, the Stars were looking at the same kinds of things after the Ducks made that comeback. There is such a fine line between winning and losing in the playoffs in the NHL, and it's remarkable, really, how minute that difference can be. So you use the word bear down, and I think that's exactly what the Ducks feel like they have to do, both offensively and defensively.
With this series so close, do we expect it to be even more intense as it goes along? Do you expect the quote, nasty quote, to pick up in this series?
Well, I was really struck by the fact that it didn't seem that nasty in Game 1, and that's not to say that it wasn't hard-hitting or that it wasn't intense, because it was, but maybe because I had just come off watching the series against Dallas, where it was extremely nasty, and I think a couple of stars in particular made it that way. It was striking that, in Game 1 between the Ducks and Kings, there weren't very many scrums after whistles. There wasn't very much that would raise your eyebrows. Now, as they get more and more familiar with each other, as this series goes along, will that change? Maybe. But I think there's a pretty healthy respect between these clubs. People talk about the rivalry, and it's certainly huge with the respective fan bases. But from what I've heard from the players on both sides, for the most part, I think there's a pretty healthy respect between these teams. So I think it'll be incredibly intense. I don't know if it will get nasty or borderline dirty. I hope not.
No, and I didn't necessarily mean dirty, but just, we've seen some series just really intense. And, Anaheim-Dallas, I thought, was a lot more of that than what we've seen. Now, granted, it was only Game 1, and I'm wondering if we'll see a little bit more. Like, there was some real animosity in that Duck-Star series.
Oh, absolutely. And, and I think Ryan Garbutt and Antoine Roussel were at the root of that.
Yeah.
And Corey Perry probably, too. But the Ducks were not happy with the way Garbutt and Roussel approached that series. I think it's safe to say that. Whether any of the Kings, or for that matter any of the Ducks, play that way and bring that about, I don't necessarily think that will happen.
Dan, always good to catch up with you. We appreciate it. One last one for you on goaltending. Is Hiller now, is this his goal to lose?
Yes, but it could be lost very quickly, I think. The Ducks, Bruce has made it clear, he's not afraid to, make a pretty bold move. I mean, he started Frederik Andersen in the playoffs. Hiller came in and did what he did in Game 6, played well in Game 1. I think Jonas is the guy, but if he, if his play drops, I'll say the same thing in reverse that I said in Round 1. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Frederik Andersen get back in net at some point.
And on a totally non-playoff thing, Dan, I don't even know if you've looked into this, but the Ducks, because of the Bobby Ryan trade, they got a top 10 pick coming in the draft. Any idea what, is? I know we always talk about best player available, but do they need more defensive depth in the organization, winger, centerman? What do they need?
Well, I'll say this first. If the Ottawa Senators hadn't won like 5 in a row at the end of the season, that would have probably been a top 5 or 6 pick.
Yeah.
So the Ducks were not thrilled to see Ottawa get hot at the end of the year. But, Jason, you never know what a team will do with a draft pick in terms of position, because by the time they need that player, who knows what might have changed. I think the Ducks, they have a nice assortment of young forwards, defensemen, and obviously goaltending with Frederik Andersen and John Gibson. So, I think they would take the best player available if they use the pick. I wouldn't be stunned to see the Ducks maybe try to make a move with a draft pick to bring in a more established player. They could use another good, solid veteran defenseman. We've mentioned Stefan Robidoux going out and getting him, and then he gets hurt, unfortunately. Whether Stefan Robidoux's back next season, I think he might be, but I don't think that's a given. So if you're looking at an off-season shopping list, I think the Ducks certainly would love to add a solid veteran stay-at-home D-man. Maybe you use that pick to try to pursue that. I don't know.
Dan, always good to catch up with you. Enjoy the series.
Thanks very much, Jason. Thanks for having me.